Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Hey, welcome. Insight. Let's see. Halloween Eve, correct, Neil?
Yes.
So, we have in studio the fifth of the school board members. She was unable to make it last week. Miss Ann Guggenbiller. Hello, Ann.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, we're going to talk about school board and stuff and, you know, learn a little bit about you. Let's just start with you getting to know Ann type thing.
Perfect. Okay? Yes.
Who in the hell is Ann Guggenbiller?
So, born Fort Wayne, Indiana. I graduated from Garrett High School in Garrett, Indiana, which is home of the Railroaders, just north of Fort Wayne. Then I started off at IU in Bloomington, and then I finished up at IPFW with a bachelor's degree.
In?
OLS, Organizational Leadership and Supervision.
Oh. Cool. Oh. You're a bossy lady.
I am a bossy lady.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I started working at Wells Fargo in downtown Fort Wayne in banking, commercial lending type area. And that's where I met Chad, so my husband. And that's how I ended up in Fort Recovery.
So you and Chad was a work work romance.
Something like that.
So was he your boss?
No.
Oh, I know. Okay. Just checking.
We were in different departments.
And he never has been her boss.
That's true. And it's not going to happen anytime soon.
No.
Yeah. So, I tell you what. Let's take a real quick break. And we're going to come back and find out about your family and why you decided to run for the Board of Education. So we'll be back right after this.
Weekends are party time at Brick Street Tavern. We'll bring you great DJs and bands all winter long. Stop up and join your friends for the party at Brick Street every weekend. This Saturday night, we'll be having karaoke with RTA. Stop up and join your friends for all the fun at Brick Street Tavern this weekend and every weekend through the winter. Meet your friends at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, we know we would not be where we are today without the hard work and dedication from our team members for the last 80 years. That's why we partnered with Activate Healthcare and made their health and well-being our top priority. All team members enrolled in the Cooper Farms Health Insurance Plan have access to our three Activate Health Center locations. There are no co-pays, free lab work, and many prescriptions are free. To take advantage of this, as well as other great benefits, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
In honor of Veterans Day, 10 Snips will be giving free haircuts to all veterans and current military personnel on Tuesday, November 12th. Walk-ins from 8 to 11 a.m. Appointments after 11 a.m. Call Kenny 10 at 375-2872 for your appointment. Free haircuts for all veterans and current military personnel November 12th. Sponsored by 10 Snips and the Sons of the American Legion, Post 345. The Fort Recovery Local Schools will be hosting a Veterans Day and Senior Citizens program on Monday, November 11th in the Elementary Middle School Auditoria. Breakfast will be served at 9 a.m., followed by a program featuring Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kramer, Public Health Flight Commander at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. There will also be a brief performance by the middle school choir, and some of the 8th grade students will read their essays on Washington, D.C. All veterans, senior citizens, and their spouses are welcome to attend this event. Please call the elementary school office at 375-2815 by Friday, November 1st, and make your reservation so they'll know how many people to plan for. If you know some local veterans and senior citizens, be sure to let them know about the Veterans Day and Senior Citizens Program at the elementary school auditoria on Monday, November 11th, with breakfast at 9 a.m.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Miss Ann Guggenbiller, and we're talking about what kind of bread we eat. So, tell me about this bread.
So, up at the, I always call it the IGA because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Wayne Street Market.
You wrote it a lot of times, I'm sure.
Yeah. I did. They sell over in the dairy case. It's like bins, crushed grains, and a different company actually, I think, bakes the bread, but that's what we buy, and it's pretty good.
So it's in the, like, the milk section?
It's right above the eggs.
Right above the eggs.
Really?
Yes.
Well, me damn.
Yep, yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
I don't either.
But you won't miss it. It's right there.
I'm sure someone could text us or email us.
I think they have some other of their products, too, that don't need refrigerated.
Correct.
So the grain, it's something about the crushing or not crushing of the grain stuff that gives it more nutrients. That doesn't take the nutrients out. It doesn't give it back. It just doesn't take it out when you, depending on how you
sounds break like up the grain. Guest.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad thing, John or Chris or whichever one, you know.
So, well, that's for a different show.
Well, we're out of time, Ann.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck in the school board thing.
So, first of all, thanks for running for the Board of Education. You know, I put a little blurb in on your Facebook last week about how, to me, the school kind of represents the bloodline to any small town like this. Mm-hmm. And having somebody that that is willing to take the time and to dedicate themselves to that job, I commend all five of you.
Thanks.
Okay, so why did you decide to do it?
Honestly, I just I like getting involved in things that actually make a difference. So, school board, I have two small children. They're right in the beginning stages of, entering school. I have a first grader and a preschooler. It's probably the right time with, the commitment level from career and family. So, I just feel like I can help make an impact for them as well as everybody else in this community.
So, career, what do you do?
So, if anyone doesn't know this, Jack is actually my boss.
Nobody's their boss. Right, Chad?
So, after selling the IGA, started at Cooper Farms, and right now I am the Complex Human Resource Manager at St. Henry Cooper Farms.
Well, cool. And you've got two little girls.
Two little girls and a stepson.
And a stepson.
Yep.
Brooklyn,
yep. She's six, a first grader.
Is that the first grader and the preschooler?
Liv, and she's 3 years old.
How cool.
Yeah.
So there's certainly reason to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm also a female, and we don't have a female on the board, and we haven't had one for a couple years, and I think it's very important to have that neutral and equal and, that point of view.
Yes, and I think the last one was, they were named Fort Camp.
Yep.
Ginny.
And yeah. She was really good. The way she ran that, whatever that meeting was, I can't remember what the meeting, public meeting, she said, this is how it's going to be. And that's how it was.
Yeah.
And I that's great. That yeah. she did a great job. I was a little disappointed to see her go off, but everybody, it's not a lifetime job, and it's not not high paying. It's not it can be rewarding, but not always. Yeah. It can be a little.
And I think Ginny actually served maybe 12 years.
Yeah, she probably wasn't enough.
Yeah. So what do you hope to bring to the school board?
Well, I like working as a team, but I'm also an independent thinker at the same time. So I feel like with the background that I have in my career, whether it would be from the financial standpoint, from running my own business with my husband, and then also now being in HR, which is policy driven to a certain extent, as well as working with people, I feel like all those levels just kind of help put me in a position that this is kind of the next step in regards to just something that is more of community involvement. If you would ask me 5 years ago, I probably would have said I'd been interested more in village council.
Yep.
But that's maybe not my top priority these days. I think our village is great. I think we have a great community. So the school's fantastic. And, you know, we are lucky to be where we're at. So why not do something that actually maybe impacts my family a little bit more?
Yeah. So you know, as a board member, you've attended a few meetings, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So you know, you're one voice, one vote, mm-hmm. representing the 415 people that are going to vote for you.
Sure.
Okay, and the, you know, 2,000 people in the community that you live here. So. How do you decide? Okay, so Ann Guggenbiller believes A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from most of the feedback that she gets, they believe B.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you vote?
I think I'd like to know why they think the way they think if I'm sitting on the other side of the fence. So I think it's important to know what they believe and what their opinion is and what they would like to have me vote for them in which direction, I guess. But at the end of the day, you know, sometimes it is based on facts, not emotions. And I do think, though, that there is a majority type situation. So whether I am a minority or in the majority, whatever it is, and I'll support it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is sometimes, and I know I did listen back to the, you know, the last show, and they are all right. There's things that happen that people don't maybe necessarily know about, and they don't maybe get the privy to know about. And they have to just hope that we make the right decision for the best of the school district.
Yeah. So you've been to a couple of board meetings. What did you learn? I mean, so have you...
Very structured.
Yep.
A lot more structured than what I even anticipated, I guess, which is good. It's pretty quick and to the point. I mean, they've got the agenda. They stick to it. I haven't been to any that were heated.
Nope.
So nothing too exciting yet.
Well, and I'll tell you what, that's a good thing about Fort Recovery is... That really doesn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there are things that occur that, you know, you might have a, you know, flare up here or there, but in general, it's a pretty well-run, well-thought-of type thing. So is there an agenda that you would like to accomplish as you approach this?
I don't really have a specific agenda, honestly. I'm a mom, but I'm also a career person. So sometimes, you know, that's balancing is difficult, but I want to help continue that for anybody who has to still balance that stuff, make sure that our kids are still getting what they need, but families can still have family time.
So... No, which is good. So as like you think about so at the end of 4 years,
mm-hmm.
okay, you want to be able to say that you accomplished what?
Well, I would hope that there's things that need to be taken care of in regards to whether it's policy creation or policy maintaining, being part of those conversations and helping them develop those things, sticking to it. You know, I know that they have talked about getting the grade back up for the school, helping towards that. Our school district is, I feel like, they're very advanced. They're ready to work with whether it's a TriStar, whether it's the STEM programs, all the different avenues, the extracurriculars across the board. I just feel like anything that's going to keep on improving us and making us stronger and better, and our children like stronger and better, I'm all about being part of.
Fantastic, and you've actually served on
I was on the business advisory council.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For like how long?
Pretty much the entire time I owned the store. It's no longer. It's been dissolved. It was hard to get membership, but it brought the business community to the school system, and it was just a nice place to just discuss kind of what was going on, whether it would be in the businesses or the school district.
Yeah. Well, when like that was started, and I think it might have been started in the early 90s, the intent was to simply keep the business community informed, even when there wasn't anything going on, because it seemed like the only time, and I'm speaking from experience because I was on the board back then, mm-hmm. because it seemed like one of the things that we heard was that the only time that we came to the businesses was when it was levy time. So it was a way to kind of get them at least informed so that they would know so that it wasn't just knocking at the door for new money that entire time. Mm-hmm. So I tell you what, we're going to take one more break and we're going to come back and touch on a few hot topics kind of. And then I'm going to ask you, what is your definition of a great school system? So we'll be back right after this.
Clinchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at clinchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Clinchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Floors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Voors, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Voors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Voors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274.
Cooper Farms will be hosting its 13th annual Turkey Trot 5K on November 2nd, 2019 at 10 a.m. with all proceeds benefiting State of the Heart Care. Kick off your November with a cool morning run or walk with hundreds of your closest friends. Water and refreshments, including a turkey meal, will be provided to all participants after the race, along with door prizes announced throughout the event. To register and find additional race information, visit cooperfarms.com and click the sign-up banner at the top of the page.
The Fort Recovery Friends of the Library will once again host the Scholastic Book Fair at the Fort Recovery Public Library Monday, November 11th through Sunday the 17th during regular library hours. And Sunday the 17th is also the Community Christmas Open House, so they'll be open on Sunday along with all the merchants from 11 to 4 that day. The annual Scholastic Book Fair is one of the most popular events that our library holds every year, so you don't want to miss it. Coming up November 11th through 17th, during regular business hours, Monday through Christmas open house on Sunday. All proceeds go toward purchasing books and materials to make your library even better. Even better.
We're back. Jack Stogler, inside, with Ann Guggenbiller.
Hello.
Candidate for the Board of Education. A couple of hot topics that I'd like you to share your thoughts on.
Okay.
You mentioned you're a mother.
Yes.
You're a career woman.
Yes.
The work balance thing. Mm-hmm. So, it seems like homework can be a hot topic.
the first thing on our agenda when I get home.
Is that right? So, what's your thoughts on it?
I think it's needed.
How much is too much?
And what age do we start?
Yep.
So last year, Brooklyn was in kindergarten, and I would open up her backpack and empty it all out, and I'd say, ooh, we got some papers, we got some words to go over. And she's like, oh, I did that. I already did that today. Oh, it's not homework? No, I did it today. Oh, okay. And then halfway through the school year, another parent says, oh my gosh, those words are driving me crazy at homework. And I go, what? So I'm smarter this time around this year, and we're definitely more focused. I mean, her homework takes 20 minutes or less.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. She's a first grader, but it has shown her a little bit more of responsibility.
Yep.
She knows she has to do that before she can do all the extra fun stuff. There's no electronics that come out before it. So, I mean, I don't want kids to be miserable because of homework at night when they go home.
And, or moms.
Yeah, or moms, or stressed out. But I think it plays a role in their responsibility and their development.
Yep, very good. How about, there's been some questions or issues in the past about the administrative staff, living in town or not. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts?
I'm not originally from Fort Recovery, but it's a great place to live. If there was housing for everybody, the more the merrier, but there's not. And so realistically, we have great communities around us. It's a great county, even into Indiana. So quite honestly, I think it'd be great that they live here, but as long as they, I think, represent us well in the community, attend events when they need to, that's okay. I think, depending on their position, it may mean a little bit more the higher up they are. So, but that's something that needs to be discussed in that hiring process, yeah, too.
So, your take on the amount of time that kids can take away from Fort Recovery High School and go to a trade school, whether it's TriStar, mm-hmm, or some other career center. Thoughts?
My dad is a retired diesel mechanic, so I'm all about anything that's hands-on. If that's what somebody wants to do, more power to them. We need more of those. If we didn't have, when we had the store, I can't tell you. Basically, I feel like our business partner was Ray's Refrigeration. I mean, our heat, the heating and cooling, but the cooling especially with all of the condensers, compressors, all the units that we had. If I didn't have them, that store some days would just be a nightmare. So, there's definitely a need for it.
So that whole your heating and refrigeration hat wasn't one that Chad put on real easily.
It's a frustrating thing when you don't know about it.
Oh, so, I know.
I mean, there's just some things you got to call the specialist in for. Yeah. So we definitely need more of those. I mean, we even work in an industry that we need maintenance, people. So I think if somebody has a passion for it, do it. It's awesome. If somebody wants to go be an accountant, go be an accountant. If you want to be a doctor, be a doctor. I mean, whatever your passion is, you should go and explore that.
But what's the school's job?
I think helping them get to that point, and when they get to that point of, some kids are very, I'm actually very surprised around here by the kids. It seems like a lot of kids already know what they want to be. I feel like when I was in high school, there were so many kids undecided when they went away to college, and then either they stayed in college or they didn't. So I'm very impressed with the Fort Recovery community, I guess, the kids from the school district, because it seems so many of them know what they want to do. And honestly, I just think we should support them. So if they want to go to TriStar, go to TriStar. If for whatever reason, what they want to do, and if TriStar doesn't really align with that.
This coming Sunday will be.
Oops, sorry. My fault.
Maybe it does need to be a conversation. But I feel like with the parents and the advisors and all the different resources we have available, I mean, I think that the kids should be able to map their way through it.
Fantastic. What do you hope? No. What is your definition of a great school system?
Honestly, I feel like when I came moved to Fort Recovery, we have a great community. So it's interesting. I had was given a purple notebook at work, and then I had a purple lanyard, and then I think I had a purple shirt on that day or something. It was like I was fully purple, and somebody said to me, gosh, you guys bleed purple over there. And I'm like, I'm not even from Fort Recovery, but it's so true. And it's very contagious, and it's throughout the entire community. So whether people are here from a different, you know, school system, or they are, you know, they were relocated to Fort Recovery, and whether they've had kids in the school system or not, I feel like people really support it. A great school system is based on our community as well. So not only do we have a great small town, but we have a great school system. And honestly, when I heard Jake talk about the fact that when he drives by our school, like the high school, it's part of our downtown and it looks fantastic, he's not lying. It does. Yeah. I mean, we have something to be proud of. So not every town has that, and not every small town has that either. So we are very blessed to be where we're at. And I think that if we just keep doing what we're doing, I think that, you know, we're on the right track, and whether we get off a little bit here and there, there's always room for opportunities.
Fantastic. Before I give you a chance to give your closing remark, okay, what's going on up at the old fire hall?
A lot of stuff. No offense, Dean, but sometimes I would wish more. No. Hey,
he's sometimes he has to go and help me with my utility room that I'm putting on the back.
Ah.
Well, okay.
He's a busy guy.
He is a busy guy. You know, we bought that for purposes of storage when we owned the store, and also garage space for our own vehicles. And Chad has loved owning that building, but he's always wanted to do something with it. It's almost, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a gift to the community, but he just felt like it was such an eyesore, and he's wanted to do something for a while. And after we experienced living above the grocery store, our own condo, he's like, I think we should do condos upstairs. So we will have two condos. And at this time, just garage space down below. Yeah. But there is room for development there later on, whether that be a business or a retail location or just maintaining garage spaces. But actually, out of those two condos, my parents, who still live in Fort Wayne, are actually relocating to Fort Recovery.
How cool.
Yeah, so they'll be closer to me, obviously, yep. Which is great. I'm excited.
And maybe the grandkids, too.
True.
That probably has a little bit to do.
True.
So, what's your maiden name?
Hall.
Hall.
Like Hall Brothers.
Okay.
But I'm not related.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
So, and estimated completion date?
To be determined. Is that right? Sometime in the winter, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, though. It's neat. And to me, it is almost like the murals that were painted. You know, mm-hmm. You can drive by them every day, and you can see a little something different. You know, sure. And I'm sure from your standpoint that change is never quick enough. But it has been neat watching that take shape, and
yeah.
It is something that's created a bit of buzz around town.
It is
too,
looking so. Nice. I will say.
Yes, it looks very nice.
Yeah. So, closing remarks about the about you running for the Board of Education.
Sure. I'm just excited to have the opportunity to even run, first of all. But second, you know, I feel like just me being a team player, it doesn't really matter who I'm working with. I feel like I can work with anybody. And I'm just excited to just have the opportunity to, like, just take our school to the next level, truthfully. So, I just hope everyone goes out and votes.
Fantastic. Well, I tell you what, we talked last week. You know, there are schools that when they have three board openings, they struggle to find three to fill it. And for us to have three openings and to have five very good, very competent people We're very fortunate. So I wish you well here. And
thanks.
Let's see, that's next Tuesday.
It's next Tuesday.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Vote early, vote often.
That's right. That's right.
And maybe not often.
Yeah. Just well, Annie, I'll tell you what. I wish you luck. It has been a pleasure talking to you. And I, once you get on the board and you're on there for 15 years, stop up and we'll do a follow up show.
It would probably be 16.
Point. Is that true?
Yeah. And you're going to talk to the folks from the election board right after our break when we get through here. So,
yeah,
that'll be the rest of the show. So
thank you, Annie.
Good. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks. So stay tuned. We're coming back with Deb Sneddon and Christy Timmerman from the Mercer County Election Board. We'll be back right after this.
Choosing the right insurance plan is as important as choosing the right insurance agency. And Fort Recovery Insurance Agency is the right choice for you. We'll bring you inside our fort to protect you and help you recover when you've had a loss. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency will help find the right Ohio Mutual plan for your needs. Start in the right place so you end up in the right place, where we've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us at 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Here are just a few of the great specials now through this Thursday, October 30th, that Wayne Street Market has throughout their store to save you money. Steaks? They have steaks. Bone-in ribeyes are just $6.99 a pound, and New York strips are just $5.99 a pound. And bone-in pork sirloin roast is only $2.49 a pound. In the deli, you can get Cooper Farm smoked turkey breast for $5.49 a pound, and Troyer's Colby cheese for $4.99 a pound. Check out these great specials from Wayne Street Market, as well as many other special prices on your favorite items throughout their store. And holiday party time is coming up, so get your orders in for their meat and cheese trays, vegetable trays, fruit trays, and their new sandwich trays, as well as the Cooper Farms turkey rolls. You can always count on great prices and great selection at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
This past Saturday, October 26th, the Fort Recovery High School Marching Band traveled down to Cincinnati to play at the Turpin competition, Forest Hills Band Expo. We got second place in our class, third place overall, and qualified for state. It was a very good performance. Unfortunately, due to scheduling conflicts after OMEA moved the state schedule around, it conflicts directly with our Disney trip, so we will be unable to perform at the state finals, but we did qualify, and the kids are super proud about that. I'm proud of them. They fought really hard, played in the rain, persevered, and got the one. So it was a great end to a great season.
Miracle Lanes is sponsoring a fun event to benefit the high school bowling teams. It's a Scotch Doubles 3-game tournament on Friday, November 22nd, starting at 7 p.m. Scotch Doubles is a really fun two-person tournament where a bowler throws the first ball and their partner picks up the spare. You switch the order when the first bowler throws a strike, and it's a progressive no-tap tournament with the first game regular bowling, then the second game is 9-pin no-tap, and the third game is 8-pin no-tap. This Scotch Doubles tournament is just $30 per two-person team, or you can just rent a lane for up to 8 bowlers for $100. There will be a bowling ball raffle, door prizes, and prizes for top score. Here's a chance to try something different and help the high school bowling teams raise some money. To reserve your spot, call or text 419-852-9962 or 513-307-9540. Get a partner and sign up now for the Scotch Doubles Tournament on Friday evening, November 22nd at Miracle Lanes. This coming Sunday will be the end of daylight saving time this year. In the fall, we set our clocks back an hour, so this Sunday at 2 a.m., you would turn your clocks back to 1 a.m. It's also recommended that you change the batteries in your smoke detectors and also change your furnace filters. Again, daylight saving time ends this coming weekend. Sunday morning at 2 a.m., it will become 1 a.m.
1 a.m. We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, and we welcome in the studio Miss Christy Timmerman and Miss Deb Snedden from the Mercer County Board of Elections, right?
Right.
And what is each of your titles with the Board of Election?
I'm currently the director of the Board of Elections.
You're the director, and you've served on the board for quite some time.
Since 2008.
Okay. So, and Christy, what's your title?
Deputy Director.
Okay. So the Board of Election is appointed positions. True?
That's correct. The Board of Elections, there are actually four board members. They are recommended by each political party, the Republicans and the Democrats.
So they each have two?
They each have two. And then those board members recommend us for our positions.
Okay, so are you two of the four board members?
No, there are four board members that we report to.
Okay, so you report to the four board members. I'm assuming this is a paid position?
Yes.
Full-time?
Yes.
Cool. And you've been doing it for
how long,
Christy? Oh, so you're a newbie.
I am a newbie.
What did you do before that?
I was at the health department for 11 years. Just the block over.
So was that a hard move to make? Because with being there for 11 years, you were... You know, you probably liked the people that you worked with, and so
yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, it was definitely a big move, a brave move. There was a lot to learn. There's a big learning curve. Definitely a different career path, but I came in, I feel like, at a good time. We got new equipment this summer. I don't know if you read about that.
Yes, I did.
And so I jumped in just in time for the delivery of that equipment, the training, the installation, and all.
So you'll know as much about it as anybody.
Right. We are. We're pretty much on. We are. Yeah, we learned it together, didn't we, Deb?
We did. Yeah. Yep. It helps having the background, you know, being there for 11 years. And I think some of the processes and things that we've had in place help to make it a more structured change. You know, without having that good foundation, it would be like starting from scratch, where it's not really just scratch. We had a lot of good processes in place.
So when you say you got new machines, what does that mean?
Well, the state came out with some money and divided it among the counties, and Mercer County actually got like $582,000 and
holy
some
odd
cents to go towards the purchase of new voting equipment. So we had many open houses and many opportunities for us to go and look at different equipment, the different systems that were out there. We opened it up to the public to come in to give their input to on, you know, do we want to go with a complete paper ballot system, or do we want to stay with like the touchscreen voting system that we used prior, or go something with more like of what's called a hybrid system, where it's a bit of a touchscreen, but it's also a paper system. And that's what we ended up with after months of deliberation.
Yeah. So what was wrong with what we had?
Well, the software that ran the program was built on a system that ran Windows 2008, and once that system is certified, and it cost a couple million dollars to get a system certified, and then to make changes to it, or to keep, get a replacement computer to tally it, you can't even buy one of those anymore. You have to buy something and then downgrade it.
Yep.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it was...
That makes sense. That makes lots of sense. I've had people ask me what was wrong with what we had. It worked every time I voted.
It was starting to have some issues, and here in Mercer County, we didn't actually use it for all of the 15 years that we had it. And I wasn't part of the election office at that time. That was between 2005 up until 2011. I think they used the machines for one or two elections, and then they loaned them to Hancock County because they had a flood, and ours actually sat on the shelf. And there was some controversy at that time, too, about these new voting machines, and Mercer County actually went back to a paper-based system.
So there's four members of the Board of Elections. two Democrats and two Republicans.
Right.
And then they each party is involved in the selection of your positions? Or how's that done?
I think it varies from county to county. You know, we just hired Christy, and how that happened, or they just hired Christy, but how that happened was that, you know, we put the ad in the paper. There were responses to the ads. And the Republican members of the board, they kind of narrowed that down to their final selections. And then when they made up their mind, then they bring it to the full board for a vote. And it takes okay. three votes to hire or fire.
Okay. Okay, so as like we prepare for the election next Tuesday, in Mercer County, how many different polling places are there?
Eight.
Okay, that's not as many as I thought. That used to be a lot more than that, probably, didn't it?
Well, we haven't reduced any since I've been on the board, but when I first started, we did have people from like Washington Township, which I think is down in this area, which maybe had their own polling location, and then it got combined with Fort Recovery, got moved from their township house. And then I think the same thing happened maybe in Hopewell Township.
Yeah.
So I think when you make a change like that, nobody's happy about that.
Yeah.
And it does increase absentee voting for that area because of the logistics of where people live, work, where they drive through, and where they're going. And if they're coming to Salina, yeah. they might as well come vote early or request an absentee by mail as to drive the other direction to go to the polling place on election day.
So on November, see, the 5th?
Yeah. Yep, next Tuesday.
How many volunteers will it take to man those eight places?
Well, none of them are volunteers. They do get paid to be poll workers.
Oh.
But it takes...
yeah, well, that's the type of volunteer to be then.
Yeah. So we have 36 precincts.
Yeah, and the hours are short too, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
About 15 hours that day, probably.
Maybe 16.
Yeah.
But we have 36 precincts all across the county. And in
so
each of those
each precinct,
the law just changed where we can have two poll workers, but we didn't think with the new system this year or with going into 2020 being a big presidential year that would be a time to cut back on poll workers. So we're trying to keep it at four per precinct, so 36 times four, 144
yeah.
people. And then we have a couple extra, you know, like that are, we call them rovers. They're able to go deliver supplies if we need them. And then we also have a couple people that are head voting location managers. You know, they kind of oversee the equipment at a location. So we plan about 150, 160.
Wow.
Air quote volunteers.
Yeah. So like, what does a volunteer get paid?
Well, they have to come to a training. We typically offer that training for every election. There's a mandatory training once every 3 years. But with the new system, every one of our workers this year has come to a training. And they get $25 for attending that training. It usually takes about 2 hours. And then for election day, being an election official, you get $124.50. And then if you are a voting location manager, where you're in charge of coming to pick up the supplies and then returning them on election night as well, you get an additional $30 for that. They never are alone with the equipment, so they bring a member of the opposite party back with them, and that person gets an additional $10, and then they also get mileage. And we also offer an online class that's actually from the Secretary of State's office. But they get, if they complete the class online, it takes about 2 hours for that, and it's another $10. It used to be paid for with grant money, but the board voted to go ahead and continue that practice for people who want that additional generalized training.
So with this being an off year, okay, will like the number of volunteers that you need next year be different, or will it probably stay the same since it's the same number of precincts?
It'll probably stay about the same. I think next year we'll probably have a few more backup people You know, like right now, I'm worried. Like, what if everybody comes down with the flu next week?
Yeah.
And I'm short, or we're short. I think we're going to be okay, but next year we're going to have a much more higher turnout, I think, than what we have now.
Yeah.
So we just always have to plan for everybody to show up.
And then scramble like hell when they don't, you know, yeah.
So, I
would tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about some of the things that we're going to be, you know, voting for, and a few more details about the Board of Election right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
At Cooper Farms, we're building a culture that makes us more than a workplace. We believe that producing quality products, giving back to our communities, and taking care of our team members are all part of our foundation as a company. We want to see our team members succeed, and that's why we pride ourselves on promoting from within the company. We believe giving our team members all the tools necessary to grow with us is what will keep our tradition moving forward. To join the Cooper Farms family and experience a culture like no other, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 60-cent wings, traditional or boneless, and draft beers for only $1. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut, grilled, or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of two sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 5th, and once again, the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7 p.m., and carryouts will be available. The meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, salad, dessert, and drinks. You can just stop by for your all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper, or you can get tickets ahead of time from any Trinity Lutheran Church member or at Fort Fitness. Tickets are only $6, and for kids 10 and under, tickets are only $5, and all proceeds will go to their local Friends in Need Fund. So don't miss the Trinity Lutheran's annual Election Day all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday, November 5th. This Friday will be our Indians' last football game of the season. They'll travel to Versailles to face the Tigers. Jeff Hobbs and Joe Bruns will bring you all the action live with the pregame show starting around 6:40. Get your gang together and head down to Versailles on Friday to support our Indians in their last game of the season. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Inside, Jack Stogler. I'm with Deb Sneddon and Christy Timmerman from the Mercer County Board of Elections. Christy, you were talking about a special program that is going on right now regarding some opportunities for the young people.
Yes, we have the Youth at the Booth program. Every fall, the beginning of the school year, we reach out to local high schools, to their government teachers, civic teachers, and we send a batch of paperwork, parental permission forms, and ask that they encourage their classes, their students, to be a part of Youth at the Booth. You have to be 17 years of age, be a senior in high school. You would be a no party affiliation, but you can come and work at the polls, do your civic duty. And it's good on a resume, on applications, and it really is a good experience.
When we talked about the various volunteers, it seems like at least when I go up, some of Those ladies and you gentlemen have been up there for decades. Does that tend to be the case?
Yeah, we have some poll workers that come back every year. They've worked every election. You know, if you go into their history, you can see, wow, they've been doing this for a really long time. And perhaps we don't even have records that go back that far that say how long they actually worked. But trying to make sure that we have everything covered, it's good to incorporate some younger people and bring new people in. And, you know, sooner or later, people are going to tell us, hey, next year, I've had people tell me already, next year I'm going to make it through the presidential and that's going to be my last one. So it's always nice to have others that have experience and also are willing to step up to take on that head voting location manager challenge and also learn the different things that's required.
So let's say that that I've never, you know, that I voted before, but I'm really not sure whether I'm registered or not. What's the best way to find out?
Well, a really good way to find out is to go to the Mercer County Board of Elections Facebook page. And if you guys want to step along with me now, you can just go to Mercer County Board of Elections on Facebook and find them. And then if you scroll down, probably four or five posts ago, there is a link there to something called Voter View. And it's a Stars and Stripes banner. And when you click on that link, it takes you off of Facebook to an outside secure link called Voter View, where actually you need to put in your first name and your last name, just as it is how you are registered. So if it's John, you know, but your formal name is Jonathan, you would put Jonathan and your last name, and then you just hit search, and that will bring up your name, or if there's multiple people with your name, you would have to check the address to make sure you're clicking on the right one. And then once you click on that, that means you're registered. We have you in our system. But if you scroll down on that page a little bit further, you'll see that you can tell where your polling location is. You can view your sample ballot. So if you live in Fort Recovery Village, Recovery Township, a 23.1 ballot, you can, it'll tell you what your township and your split is. You can click on that and a PDF of your sample ballot will come up. Also, further down on there, you can, if you've requested an absentee ballot, we sent one to you, you can actually track that as well to see that it was mailed. And once we receive it back, you'll see that it was marked as accepted.
Okay, you mentioned the absentee ballot type thing. So what do I have to do to get an absentee ballot?
Before every election, 30 days before the election is like the deadline to register.
So I can't do it anymore?
No, that's to be registered to vote. You have to be registered to vote. And then the day after that, early voting starts in our office. So we're open until 9 o'clock on that registration deadline. The next morning at 8 o'clock, we have voting machines set up, and you can come in anytime between the day after the close of registration up until the day before Election Day. And we have extended hours. Like the first 3 weeks, we're open 8 a.m. to 5. The last week, we're open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We'll be open on Saturday from 8 to 4. Sunday 1 to 5, and then early voting will continue from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. on Monday, the day before the election. In even years, the state includes in their budget money to send out applications to every registered voter, an application to vote early. I think that serves to confuse people, because in the even years, they automatically get that application in the mail, and then you get an off year like this year, and we get so many calls to people saying, I didn't get my application. I didn't get my ballot. Well, we don't just send a ballot. First, you have to send the application. So I wish they would do that consistently. And then they also forbid us from mailing them out. You know, Board of Elections just can't mail you one of those. You have to call and request it, or you can go online. There's a form that you fill out, but you can write it on a napkin, as long as it has your name, your address, your date of birth, your ID, what election you want to vote in, and your signature, and the fact that you request an absentee ballot for the election on November 5th, and we will send you an absentee ballot in the mail.
So, from an early voting standpoint, I can vote right now pretty much any business day, including this coming Saturday, from 8 to 4, 8 to 5.
And also Sunday this week, too.
And then next year, when it's a presidential election, those weeks that we're open 8 to 7, we actually have two of those weeks, and we have two Saturdays and two Sundays. But in these odd years, they only make us for one weekend.
So do you get many people that come in and vote right now?
Oh, yeah.
We've had about 600 so far for this election, and I think that's slow, actually. I mean, I was expecting more than that for this election.
So when you compare Mercer County to other counties in the state, overall, we have a pretty good turnout for every election, don't we, when you compare us to other counties?
We do, yep. And sometimes we're way up there as far as the turnout goes. And there's some precincts in Mercer County that are way higher than others that bring that up. So, and we also have a high number of registered voters. So if the total population of the county, I'm not sure what that is, 40,000 or something like that, we actually have 28,350 voters.
Wow.
So a lot of our people are registered. I can't see that there's a lot of people that are of voting age that aren't registered to vote.
So for people that are listening in from the Fort Recovery area, do you happen to know what we'll be voting on?
I do. You have a Fort Recovery mayor. Got some village council people.
Most of them are unopposed.
Yeah.
Let me take a look here, because I did bring the list. Yep, your mayor's unopposed, your council is unopposed, and then you have some school board candidates, which I think you're aware of, because you had them on here earlier. And then you have a couple townships over here. You've got Recovery Township and Gibson Township. So those are, Gibson is unopposed.
Yep. For the trustee and for the fiscal officer,
Same thing for Recovery. That's unopposed as well.
See, we must be happy with our people.
Must be. And then you have Washington Township as well. Where is that at? That's further. That's back here.
I think that's St. Anthony area, I believe, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I was thinking that was St. Anthony.
Washington. Where's Washington? UBW. Yep, that's unopposed as well. You have your Mercer County ESC, which is a vote for two, and there's one candidate and one write-in.
Oh, there is a write-in? Oh, okay, I see where it says write-in.
And then we also have an unexpired term there, but that's a vote for one. And then as far as issues go...
Just the county home is all I'm seeing?
I believe so.
I think you're right.
Well, and then there's a state issue, isn't there?
No state issues.
Nope.
So, like, what's all the talk about the utility thing or the energy thing?
Oh, that's people collecting signatures on a petition.
Oh, okay.
For whenever they get that submitted.
So that'll be in the coming. Okay.
Well, once they get that petition, there's a whole nother process how that happens. First, you have to have a petition to have a petition. So I think that takes 1,000 signatures, and you submit that to the Secretary of State, Attorney General. And then once you pass that threshold, then you're allowed to go out and collect the signatures. And I know, like, for a statewide issue, I think it takes 360,000, give or take, signatures to make that happen. And then of those 365,000, if that's the correct number, half of those, or they have to come from half of the counties. And of those counties, they have to meet 5% of the votes that were cast for governor.
Oh, my. That's easy enough to figure out.
So, oh, yeah.
So, like, we wanted to, me and Bob wanted to get a petition signed to legalize sports betting in Mercer County.
In Mercer County?
Yeah. Could, like, we do that?
Yep, it's called an initiative petition.
Well, be it.
I'm in.
Okay. That's it.
There's two types. An initiative petition, which is your initiative, you're coming up with something, or a referendum, which is somebody did something and then you don't like it and you don't want that to be the case.
So do you have anything to do with, okay, so if, like, you know, somebody is trying to get a liquor license,
that takes a petition as well.
That's a petition too.
Yeah, and we check those at our office. Earlier you asked if this is a full-time job, and we actually work a lot of hours, especially right now in this year. I can't even tell you how many hours that I've worked extra, and it's every day. I haven't had a day off all summer, I don't think. I haven't had a vacation.
So besides the election process, what else is there?
Well, there's voter registration, which changes every day. We have online registration. You can go to voteohio.gov, and you can register to vote online. People die all the time, so we have to make sure that our voter rolls are clean.
They should check with you first so you can get a vacation taken at some point.
People move, you know, so we also have it's all connected. It's a bottoms-up system, so all of the data that we enter for voter registration goes up to the state, and then say, like, you moved from Mercer County to Dart County, you can't be registered in both counties, so there's a process that Marie, our clerk, actually takes care of as far as merging those people to where the county that they belong in, and there's a deadline before an election where we have to have zero duplicates across the state, so it's as clean as can be. Yeah. We have campaign finance stuff that comes in, because if you have candidates, you have to record your money that's spent and tell where you spent it and who gave it to you and how you spent it and how much you got left, and there's deadlines for that.
Do we have different laws regarding campaign finance in the state of Ohio than they have in Indiana?
I have no idea.
You know, you can drive through all of New Mercer County, except for Salina, and never see a sign. You get into Portland, and there are 9,000 signs for people you running for things. So I didn't know if, like, the campaign finance thing was just a pain in the butt, and people didn't want to do it over here.
I don't think if you run for school board, you can put a sign up in Mercer County.
I think that you can.
I don't know.
But I think you have
you
to
can.
File.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
File for.
You can.
Yeah. You have to file certain campaign finance things because you're spending money
right
on your campaign.
So let's just say you're interested in running for office. I know you're happy with whatever, but you want to be a candidate.
We're not happy with our mayor.
Oh, yeah. Is he here?
But he's a good friend.
Okay, so let's say.
And we are happy with our mayor.
So let's say, pretend then that you want to run for mayor. You would come into our office, hopefully, and we would go through something that's provided by the state called a candidate requirement guide that tells us for every office that's on the ballot for 2019, you know, mayors included. It's a mayor of a village. You need 25 signatures. You have to be a resident of the village. The requirements, and then how many signatures that you need, and we would help you fill out the top part of the petition. That's your declaration that you want to be a candidate, and then below that is the people signing here below, yes, indeed, they want you to be on the ballot for mayor, and then we would make copies of that for you and go through the process of what all needs to happen with that, and then you go out and get your signatures and bring it back in. We do verify those signatures and make sure, yep, that was a village resident, yes, that matches their voter registration, and then the board certifies that. Where was I going with the story?
We're asking about the campaign finance stuff.
So yeah, at that time we do tell them, if you're going to campaign, if you're going to influence this election in any way, even if you don't spend money, like say you've been mayor for 4 terms already, and you have signs that you paid for 16 years ago, if you're still going to go out and use those signs, there's a way to report that as well. You're influencing the election, and you should report that. And then people can request that information as well. Say, hey, I want to know, what did that guy spend? Where did he get his money from?
Well, I think Mayor Kalp gets his from Russia.
He does.
I know.
I don't think he has a campaign. And you don't have to spend money. Yeah. You don't have to file a campaign. In this type of election, it's probably one of the more complicated ones, you know, because you got township trustees and fiscal officers who don't do it very often. And then I'll be driving around and be like, oh, I see that sign. Do they have a campaign? Uh-huh. But we're not the campaign finance police.
Okay.
If someone would call and say, hey, I see a sign. It doesn't have that little disclaimer on it. It says paid for by, you know, somebody's, where'd they get their money from? Be like, well, I don't know. They don't have a campaign. Here's where you file the complaint for that with the Ohio Ethics Commission. And then actually there could be fines up to $100 a day involved in that. But we're not the police for that.
Yeah. So, we've touched on a lot about the upcoming elections. So, Christy, you have any closing comments? Or Deb, you have anything to close with?
Get out there and vote. Come see us.
And we do have a new system. So it's going to look similar. I mean, the makeup is the same when you come into the polling location or when you come into the election office, you check in. And instead of getting that plastic card that you put into the machine, you'll get a piece of paper. It's 14 inch long. It's about 4 inches wide. You insert that into one of the marking devices and you make your selections. And then once that's finished, it will print it out and spit it back out to you. You can hold it in your hand and you can review it and make sure, yes, indeed, that's my choices. But once you take it over to the scanner and you lay it on the green arrow and it passes on through and puts it down in the ballot bin, your ballot's cast.
Right. What about paper jams?
If there's a paper jam,
I'm sure you guys have tested these things billion times.
We have come up with every possible scenario.
As long as you put it right on that green arrow, you won't have a problem.
Or what about when you're putting it into the machine? I'm thinking how hard it is to put one piece of paper into a printer.
No, it actually goes into that pretty smooth. If you have an issue, you know, that's what those volunteers are out there for on election day. So they've been through training. They have the keys to unlock it and loosen it. And if you ever have an issue, just go see one of them. Actually, I don't know if you know this either, but you can, if you make a mistake on your ballot, you can get up to 3 ballots.
Really?
Yeah. So I scratched it wrong. I thought I was voting for the mayor, but I really wanted the other guy. You can, even if it's an absentee ballot, you call off and say, hey, I made a mistake. What can I do? Well, we need to have that original ballot back first, and we can issue up to 3. When we issue the 3rd one, we'll tell you, sorry, Charlie, this is your last.
This is it.
You better be careful because this is your last chance.
Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate you guys taking the time. We are now better prepared, I think, for Tuesday. I wish you a smooth November 5th. That's the best thing that we can hope for. So,
and I really don't care who wins. I just hope they win by a lot.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, for Jack Stogler, I'm out next week, Neil. So, I don't know whether
we'll come up with somebody.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll be happy to come back in March. It's a pretty tight turnaround, after this election's finished.
It is. Before the primaries,
And March 17th will be the primary next year. They moved it up a month.
And it will be presidential, and everybody that isn't registered needs to get out there and get registered for the primary and or the general.
If you're just registered, and you're not registered as one party.
Okay.
Can you vote for either? I mean,
well, let me explain. In Ohio, and I just pretty much know what the Ohio
laws. This is for the primary election, correct?
Yes.
How you become affiliated with a party in Ohio is by voting in that party's primary. And, they may call it a primary election, but it's really a primary nomination. So if you go in there and the poll worker says, which party ballot would you like? And you say, I'd like the Democrat ballot. And you'll get the Democrat ballot. It only has Democrat candidates on it.
Yep.
You won't see anybody else on there. If you say, I want the Republican ballot, you're only going to see Republican ballots. When you select that party ballot, and next year we'll also have other minor parties, Green, Libertarian, I think there's been Socialists, even there could be Communists if somebody would file for it. But when you select that party ballot, that's how you become affiliated. We also have a ballot that only has issues on it. So let's just say next year there was another levy for a countywide levy, and you selected an issue-only ballot. That ballot would only have issues on it, has no candidates. And that's truly how you become an independent voter, not affiliated with a party. Independent is not a party.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I would tell you what, we are going to close up shop. Thanks for you joining me. Stay tuned for Sports Talk. Bub and Fee, you have anybody special?
No.
No? Okay.
I think I see somebody over there in the corner.
Oh. We have FR football coach, Mr. Brett Niekamp, joining Bubba and Fee here in just a couple minutes. So for Jack Sogler and the Mercer County Board of Election, we're out, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Sogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.